From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
The biggest moments in the games.
Oh, God! Stokely down the sideline! Can they catch him? Stokely! Wow! Touchdown! Denver! Unbelievable!
The biggest voices in sports.
Cannot play with him. Cannot win with him. Cannot coach with him. Can't do it.
The heartbreak.
Touchdown! No! No! Cardinals have knocked the Vikings out of the playoffs.
The celebrations.
And he takes the knee of the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions. And Tom Coughlin and the Big Blue erase all of their doubters. They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
That's right. It's the Bulletin Blitz here on the Bart Winkler Show. It is Tuesday, March 25th. 2025, and March Madness is a time for college basketball's peak, which is we are going into the Sweet 16, but it's also, I guess, time for the transfer portal, and players all over the country are jumping out of their current deals, looking for new schools and higher paychecks. Well, here is head coach from Michigan State, Tom Izzo, says he doesn't care about the transfer portal at this point of the season. His number two Michigan State Spartans will be facing Ole Miss on Friday.
When I came back Sunday night, that was it. There was nothing on my mind but giving these guys a chance to win one more game, get to Elite Eight, and one more game, and have a memory that'll last their entire life, their kids' life, and their grandkids' life. Because that's what it is. So excuse me for being passionate about it or pissed off about it, whichever words you want to use, but I'm not going to talk about it because it's not fair. It's not fair to the people.
It's weird. I talked a little bit last week about these portal dates. Everyone complains about when they are. When it's football season, the portal starts after the season, and so people leave during the bowl games. Then there's another transfer window after the spring games, where teams have started to cancel the spring games because teams are watching the spring games and then offering better NIL deals to players that they like from those teams. And now in basketball, we got through a weekend of the tournament, and the portal has opened already. It opened yesterday. In 2023, on day one of the portal, 175 kids on the men's side went into it. That was 2023, 2 years ago. Last year, the record broke with 291 kids on opening day going into the portal saying, we're ready to go somewhere else. And then yesterday, more than 700 players got into the portal. And you can say it's bad for college basketball or whatever. The ratings for the first weekend of the tournament were very good. Get into that a little bit later. So we're still watching. It's just weird that there continue to be these dates that are set up that seem to hinder. Like, there's a kid, Scottie Pippen's kid at Michigan, entered the portal. They're in the Sweet 16. What are we doing? So, yeah, Tom Izzo can say that. It is unfair, but if he wants next year's kids to be in this position, Tom, you got to be thinking about the portal even while you're thinking about your next game.
All right, let's switch gears a little bit. We talked a little bit about Cam Ward earlier in the show, presumptive number one pick going to Tennessee. So he is asked, this is courtesy of CBS Sports, if he's nervous about any aspect of the NFL game.
But on film, it looks the same as college. Besides the D-line, who's obviously better. Every team playing against the highest-paid defensive linemen. So, you know, the game could speed up a little bit. But just from a back-end standpoint, a lot of guys want to put the safety high 25 yards down the field and leave the middle field wide open. So some teams who did that to us this year, they paid the price. I think some teams in the NFL did a lot of too-high stuff, like Dallas going a lot of Tampa, a lot of cover two. They leave way too much space on the sideline down the seams. And so I just think, you know, the arm strength and, you know, the confidence that I'm bringing, along with the, you know, me getting my receivers better, I just think I'll be able to put the ball where I want.
Yeah, I mean, I get that some college teams are running more NFL-type concepts, both on offense and defense, but you can't be naive to think that that means it's going to look the same. I mean, if you get drafted by the Tennessee Titans, as bad as the AFC South is, it's a lot better than the ACC. Plus, it's a lot better than the 56 points you put up against Florida A&M and the 62 points you get up against Ball State and the 50 points you levied on to South Florida. So I understand the wanting to project confidence, but I hope that, you know, he's aware that it's going to be exponentially harder to see those concepts in the pro game as it is collegiately.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And here's an interesting admission from everyone's favorite media darling now, Jason Kelce. This is courtesy of our old friend Damon Amendola on his Watch DA Live on YouTube/Twitter channel. Jason Kelce, I've always wondered about this. When a guy retires and his team wins the Super Bowl the next year, shout out to our guy Tiki Barber. Same thing, Giants won the year after he retired. Jason Kelce admits that the Eagles might not have won the Super Bowl if he returned.
Call it butterfly effect, whatever, but there's more, and it's not even just me and Cam Jurgens. You know, there's Mekhi Becton. There's a lot of decisions that get made that ultimately come down to, you know, guys stepping away, coaches moving on. There's a lot of different varying factors. And what I do know is that the group that remained with the Philadelphia Eagles at the end of the season was the best team in the NFL.
They won the Super Bowl and he was not there. I don't know that they don't win a Super Bowl with him there, but he's right. There were a lot of different decisions that were made. The Mekhi Becton one came to my head, Cam Jurgens. You know, these are decisions that get made because they're trying to replace Kelce, and then how do they replace him kind of leads to them winning. And so I don't know that they wouldn't have. They clearly dominated the Chiefs. Would they have gotten to that point? Probably still. But you do wonder the butterfly effect. Sometimes I think to myself, has there ever been a game? And I can't think the answer is yes. But has there ever been a game that if I would have went to as a fan, or if I didn't go to as a fan, would I have changed the outcome? Like, what would you have to do? You'd have to interfere with the play-in somehow. Because what would you have to do to just go to the stadium? I watch a game on TV and I wonder, if I went to that stadium and sat in the second level, would I see the exact same thing, or would something be different along the way? Would my interaction with something be different? You never know. These are the things that keep me up at night, because as a fan, I've tried to think, if I only went to that Super Bowl, would the Packers have won against the Broncos? You try to think about that. You try to justify. It's part of the bargaining stage in the five steps of grief.
We do crazy thing as fans. We're going to wrap it up real quick on the Bulletin Blitz, but when the Cubs were playing the Indians in the World Series, every time they had two strikes, I rubbed a C on my cap, and I swear that was leading to an out. So
it works. They won.
It works until it doesn't. Last one here. Celtics head coach Joe Mazzulla says Jason Tatum is doing okay. They took care of the Kings 113-95, but scary moment for Jason Tatum as he rolls his ankle. He says he's doing all right, though.
Seems to be doing okay. He's just icing it right now. I didn't see the play, but they made the right calls of flagrant foul, and fortunate that he was able to shoot the free throw and, you know, just taking care of it right now.
The Celtics are on a six-game win streak. They found themselves now just 4.5 back of the Cavs. Much tighter than the gap between the Thunder and the Rockets. 1-2 in the West, 13.5. But if Jason Tatum gets an additional rest, that's probably what's for the best. You don't want to tweak an injury or make it worse. And this is why the NBA is not going to be that great for the next 2 weeks, because guys will be resting to not be healthy for the playoffs. Guys will be shut down because the teams want to lose. It's a little bit of a problem that the NBA has this time of year. I don't know how you correct it. Thankfully, we've got other basketball to pay attention to, so maybe they don't feel like they need to.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.